Hallo und herzlich willkommen bei Inside Jonas. Mein Name ist Andreas Maurer. Wer sich mit Webentwicklung beschäftigt, ist sicher schon einmal über den Begriff LampStack gestoßen. Die Abkürzung beschreibt vier der wichtigsten Technologien für das Web. Das Betriebssystem Linux, den Webserver Apache, die Datenbanksoftware MySQL und die Programmiersprache PHP. Und in dieser Episode soll das M von LAMP im Mittelpunkt stehen, denn auf dem Jonas Summit hatte ich vor wenigen Wochen Gelegenheit, mit dem Erfinder von MySQL zu sprechen, Michael Montividenius. Und Monty hat gemeinsam mit Alan Larson und David Exmark nicht nur MySQL entwickelt, sondern auch den Ableger MariaDB. Wie es zu dieser Abspaltung kam, das erzählt er selbst gleich im Interview. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören.
Michael Montividenius was the main author of the open source database software MySQL, MySQL in 1995. Could we say you are the inventor of MySQL?
Yes, definitely.
What did make you write this software?
I actually started writing the origin of the code base in 1981 and to solve a customer problem. And then it kind of evolved. I started doing analytics with the software. And in 94, the customers who were using it said that it's a really nice database, but we need to be able to access it through the web, because web was kind of new in 95 or 94.
So what platform did you work on originally that early?
Solaris. And and then I wrote an SQL on top of it, and because I've kind of come up to the conclusion that SQL is really easy to embed in a web browser.
And was it clear from the beginning that you wanted to make this open source?
Not originally. I was using a lot of open source, and me and David Axmark, who was kind of part of the project, we always wanted to give something back. So we wanted to create a project that would earn enough money so we could work on full time. And that's why we did some research, found the dual license model, which we liked, so we could have it open source for most and closed source for others. And as soon as we realized that and MySQL was ready, we immediately made it open source, because we thought that we're doing something good, we're giving something back, and we will not earn less money than we did as a small consulting firm with a few customers.
So could you have ever imagined what a success this has become?
No, we didn't. But we did take that into account indirectly, because we had the license model. So when people said that, how will you ever earn money on free software? Who should pay? Oh, we have a license, so a small fraction, maybe 1 in 1,000, would have to pay. And that was enough for us to create a great business.
Then a couple of years later, you sold MySQL, the company basically, right?
Yes.
And a little bit later, you also created with MariaDB,
yes,
a fork of the original software, and you also created a foundation to run MariaDB. What was the idea behind this?
So I was really, really happy when MySQL was acquired by Sun, because Sun was actively investing into open source. They understood it. They didn't really know how to do a business on it, but they believed in it. So I was sure that this is a good place for MySQL. When then Oracle, 1 year later, said that they will want to buy Sun, and the main reason they want to buy Sun is that they want to get their hands on MySQL, I thought that something needs to be done. And when this announcement came out, lots of people from Sun called me and said that they don't want to work with Oracle, they are going to quit. Do you have a place for me? And I said, sure, but let's create a company, let's do a fork, because I wanted to do a couple of things. I wanted to ensure that anybody who has ever worked on MySQL would have a workplace for life on the project, and I didn't believe that Oracle would be able to do that. I also wanted to be sure that the software that I spent more than 30 years on would actually be alive forever. And I also wanted to ensure that everybody who were using MySQL and depending on MySQL wouldn't feel both threatened and sad if they would lose MySQL, have to go something else, and inverse, something else that would be commercial and closed source. So I wanted to kind of save those. So I didn't do it for money. I actually didn't believe that MariaDB could be sold or money. So we did it an open source project, and we hoped that we would get enough sponsorships to be able to continue.
I think one common misunderstanding of open source is that open source doesn't necessarily mean something is free, but except for the actual source which is available. But on stage in the interview with Nicole Scott, you talked about an open source tax as an idea. What is the concept of this?
What we want to solve is somehow ensure that all popular open source projects would have enough money to be able to continue without having to be afraid that at any point in time the project will be killed because of resources. So the idea would be that all big software providers and SaaS providers would pay a small cost, a fraction of a percent, to the projects that they actually are using. So for example, for a SaaS vendor, if the customer is using a database, they could add €1 a year on the software as part of the cost, as an open source tax. And that, if enough SaaS vendors would do that, we would have no problem with funding at all for MariaDB.
How would that work in practice? Do you just count on the SaaS providers and software companies to do that on their own, or do you think we need some kind of regulation for that?
It would be best if a couple of big ones would do that and show that we actually are giving back, not only to MariaDB, but also to Linux and all the tools that they are using. And that would be seen as a better vendor than others. And if they can get enough people switching to that vendor, other vendor will follow.
Have you talked to any of the big vendors?
I have mentioned this a couple of times, but nobody wants to increase costs. But this is something that the CEO should just decide, because there's no cost for the company, because they would basically just say the users have to pay. And if somebody's paying $200 a year and next year it'd be $201, and say that the one is that you're supporting the software that we are using. So your software actually will, that software that you're using will evolve. We're helping it to see that it doesn't die. I don't think anybody would object.
Sounds like a reasonable idea. I mean, if you talk about big players in this field, probably the first thing that comes to mind are the GAFAMs, Google, Alphabet, Facebook, Microsoft, Amazon. What is your view on these companies and the power these companies have gained over the past years?
I mean, they are using open source, but they're just following the license, so they're doing nothing wrong, either legally or ethically, but they are not providing as much back as they could. I'm happy to see that Amazon is now a sponsor of the MariaDB Foundation, so that at least they have started to understand the value of giving back, and we are actually working with them to improve MariaDB. But the other vendors are more users of open source than giving back. Google does give back through Androids and other things, but they also do that in a way that they always get a commercial advantage by doing that. They're not doing that to ensure that the project's life would keep on living.
Final question. The internet basically is based on free and open development, based on standards that the community has given itself with the RFCs, the requests for comments. But today we see more and more regulation of the internet related stuff. Currently in Europe, there's a big discussion about an AI act to regulate artificial intelligence. How do you view this stance from the politics to more and more regulate the internet?
If it makes the internet better and more free, and then it's kind of a good thing. But if it is done to restrict people, either users or developers, then it's a bad thing. And I don't see a threat with AI in the sense that it's just a tool, like a calculator. Humans can do much more than AI. They can use the AI to do better. So we have some developers in MariaDB who use that for checking up things and seeing constructs for some things they don't know. But all the whole hardcore work they do, no AI can do. So there's no risk.
Thank you, Monty Vidinius.
Soweit das Gespräch mit Monty Vidinius beim Jonas Summit 2023. Wenn Ihnen diese Podcast-Folge gefallen hat, hinterlassen Sie gerne eine Bewertung. Und wir freuen uns auch immer über Kommentare, Fragen und Vorschläge. Entweder direkt unter dem Podcast oder auch per Mail an podcast@ionos.com. Und falls Sie das noch nicht getan haben, ist jetzt eine gute Gelegenheit, Inside Ionos zu abonnieren. Entweder direkt unter inside.ionos.de, bei Spotify, Apple Podcasts oder allen anderen gängigen Podcast-Plattformen. Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören und bis bald.